Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, the great Michelle Knezovic back in the house this morning here in our wholesaling studios, powered by RumbleOn.com.
There we go.
Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on?
Living the dream. The boys are back in town.
That's right. Band is together. It's a great day here on the program, Robbie and Rex Road, this Thursday morning. Had a little bit of rain yesterday, Joe. I got a little waterlogged last night. Played in a charity softball game up at Drake's Creek Park in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Hendersonville High School, first off, the field is immaculate. So it's basically a turf field. So there's really no amount of rain that's going to rain you out. I guess you can just get delayed if the outfield gets a little mushy, but it held up pretty good.
Lightning rules, I assume.
Lightning rules, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. But no lightning in the Hendersonville area last night. We played a full softball game in the pouring down rain. It was pretty awesome.
Got a dub. And what's the Robbie Stanley line score here?
I went, had a homer, had a double.
A homer? Like over the fence?
No, not in this one.
So you legged out a homer?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's actually more impressive.
Speed was flowing last night. Feeling it today, but the speed was flowing last night. Chris Sanders, part of the game last night. Joe Dubin, part of the game last night. David Reed, Outkick 360, part of the game last night. It's a fun time.
On your team? Or
Chris Sanders was not on my team. We went head-to-head.
So Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
Took the L, man. Take that L.
That's right. Chris did have the smart move of grabbing some Chick-fil-A in the middle of the game and then bringing it to his dugout. Power move.
Oh, yeah. That is a power move right
Chris Sanders
there.
Last night.
Like for everybody?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's awfully nice.
That's the best mute you may have ever had. Power move by Chris Sanders.
Total mid-sentence. I just muted myself.
So, the rain. Felt like a little kid out there last night. Nashville SC playing in the rain as well, and a draw on the table. Kind of a disappointing end last night. Nashville SC goes up 1-0 with a goal by CJ Sapong. And, Joe, you know what that means. The listeners, once again, have struck in our NSC Pick the Click competition brought to you by Camarena Tequila. They now have six correct answers in this competition. You have one. Michelle has one. Ryan Porth has one. Robbie Stanley has zero.
But again, we're all in the same boat, basically. Six, though.
Six.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, again, it's a small group of people who are going to be picked first. But to get it right this often? In a sport where, like there's a lot of games like last night, a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
Awfully impressive.
Well, I guess you had the primary assist on Sapong's goal.
Your
Hani
guy.
Mukhtar, who I selected yesterday in the competition. That's just how things have gone for me in this competition. Really, almost every competition we've done so far here on the show, Joe. It's going well for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, because obviously Porth was kind of the pigskin pick'em. I was weekend winners and Preds Pick to Click. Nobody though is this. I mean, you got all you got to do is get two right and you could win.
Surpass.
Yeah, so, look at it that way. The listeners are just
running
crushing.
Through. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And now, another home game last night for Nashville SC. They've got a very road heavy schedule coming up throughout really the rest of the season. And, you're getting points and that's great. But a lot of Nashville SC fans last night disappointed with the draw, saying, all right, you got to start finishing some of these home games off with 3 points because obviously it's more difficult on the road to get these results that you're looking for. So the points are great, and they continue to pile up points, and that's awesome. But there have been a few games at home this year where they absolutely should have won that have ended up with your one-point draw, and I hope that does not come back to bite them in the end.
Yeah, and defending the set pieces is now becoming a point of contention. Gary Smith,
friend of the show.
Comments after that's right, friend of the show, Gary Smith. very recent friend of the show, Gary Smith, had some comments about that last night. So, yeah, disappointing overall outcome to draw that game.
Joe Rexroad, you were at Vanderbilt's practice yesterday after a friend of the show, Clark Lee, was on with us yesterday. Anything in particular stand out with the Commodores at practice yesterday?
Well, after the practice, it started raining really hard right as Clark Lee was about to talk to us. So it was like, do we go inside? What do we do here? And he's like, hey, guys, can we bring that tent over here? So they brought a tent over, and then Clark, like, went and, like, clicked in the, you know. And he's like, hey, Joe, is that clicked in the back corner? And I'm like, And then he, you know, quickly diagnoses my mechanical abilities. Walks over, click. Okay, thanks. And then goes and stands out in the rain and talks to us. So he stands in the rain. We all the soft media stand under the tent, asking questions. Yeah, but the practice itself was very good offensively, I would say, especially compared to how things have been going. The offense is starting to, you know, get some shots in on that defense. So, I've got to put something together today on, like, this week. But, I mean, Mike Wright and Ken Seals both make a lot of plays and look great out there. Not always. But, you know, Ken Seals pushing the ball down the field, man, he has got tremendous touch on some of those, you know, vertical passes. And Mike Wright made a couple plays yesterday that, you know, are just, like, ridiculous, running around off one foot, going across your body like you shouldn't do, but, wow, there's a 50-yard completion type stuff. So, and they've got, you know, some other receivers, too. Young Quincy Skinner, freshman receiver. You know, that's a name for Vanderbilt fans to keep in mind. I don't know how much he's going to play this year just because there are a lot of good veterans ahead of him, but he is going to be, I think, potentially a special player here. It's also interesting, talking to Robbie Weinstein, 24/7 Sports, he's like, guess what he did last year as a senior in high school? And I'm like, okay, so you're asking me that because it's either ridiculously high or low. He's like, he had like 100 yards receiving, you know, because he played for St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which like has, you know, like 17 D1 guys every year or whatever. So, but Vanderbilt, I think, found one in him. So there's one. And, you know, Patrick Smith, the freshman running back, too, trying to find that third back. He had a long touchdown run yesterday. So I think I'm allowed to report. I don't know. All the rules on what you can report, you know, basically just yell at me. Just yell at me, Vanderbilt, Titans, Vols.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just going to keep asking for forgiveness until I'm not forgiven anymore.
That's right.
I think it's okay to say that.
Well, I will say, though, you have what you've been teasing really all week, maybe for the last 2 weeks, your story at theathletic.com alongside friend of the show, David Ubben, who, by the way, will join us today at 7:30. It is now up. It is active at theathletic.com. And it's quite the story regarding speaking with some high school coaches here in the area, getting to the bottom of recruiting with Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Lots of different questions, lots of different interesting stories and vantage points in this as well. So it's finally up, Joe Rexroad. I'm looking forward to having Ubben on later in the show to talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was going to be posted this early. But, yeah, it's been a few weeks in the making, and we've done some of these with other states. I think it's a great idea. I'd give credit to whoever came up with this idea, but I'm not sure. I'll ask Mitch Light today. But the idea is go around to high school coaches in these various states and just talk about, obviously, the Power 5 schools in that state, but also what Power 5 schools come in and do a good job, what about the Group of 5 schools, and just some general questions, too, about recruiting, cheating, name, image, likeness, all this stuff. So it's a survey, but it's anonymous. You know, anonymity is granted, so they will speak freely. And there's some free speaking in this story.
Yes, there is.
About certain individuals. You know, with Tennessee, like, so we did a Florida one, right? I was just talking about St. Thomas Aquinas. So if you do a Florida one, I mean, there's like 50 high schools you could pick.
Sure.
Or, you know, where, like, they have, like, a bunch of D1 kids. I mean, in the state of Tennessee, there's not a lot, right? I mean, there's not a ton of high schools that regularly send players, you know, to, like, Power 5. So, you know, we had 8 coaches. I mean, if we did, like, 15 coaches, you'd probably know, like, all the high schools we talk to, you know. So with eight coaches, there's, you know, at least enough. You're not exactly sure who's talking, and that's important. I mean, there are some, you know, some personal things in here, but also, I mean, some themes, some common themes with certain current and past coaching staffs that I found fascinating. I mean, I learned a lot doing this. One thing I learned is, man, people love James Franklin. My gosh. I said this yesterday, but, you know, you may not like James Franklin, but the high school coach who deals with James Franklin likes James Franklin.
I just love how somebody in the story referred to him as the head coach at Penn State.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Just forget, yeah, for, you know, probably forgot his name there for a moment.
But. Yes.
So anyway, yeah, so that's been a few weeks in the making. I'm glad that we have it today. So that's interesting if you're Vanderbilt, Tennessee. But, I mean, also some of the other schools in the state. There's some interesting stuff that I had no idea.
You can check that out at theathletic.com. David Ubbin has tweeted it out. We will link that story as well. Coming up later in the show, David Ubbin joining us at 7:30 today. Jared Stillman will be joining us to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Jared down in Tampa Bay taking in Titans practice. Day one of Titans practice yesterday down there against the defending Stanley Cup, defending Super Bowl champions. I mean,
they are
the Stanley Cup champions as well
down
in Tampa Bay.
They all drink the avocado tequila.
That's right. But, Jared Stillman, it was something yesterday, wasn't it? Little Tom Brady back and forth between Jared and Brady yesterday. Oh, man. Looking forward to that coming up at 7 o'clock.
Well, so I think the first thing I saw was Jared's tweet. You know, like basically, did he say breaking? I hope so.
I need to go
breaking.
Sure.
Breaking Brady. News. Tom Brady says he's not that MF-er. But that's the first thing I saw was, and so I didn't, I did immediately think, so is Jared the one who asked him this question? Jared, please tell me Jared's the one who asked him this question.
And he was.
And he was. So I hadn't even seen the exchange until this morning before the show when you showed it to me, and it's just, it's good, man. It's good. Is that audio, like, is that, like, that would play, right?
I don't know.
Would it? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
it's worth a shot.
He used the word breaking. He did. Breaking in all capital letters from Jared Stillman.
So great. Yes. So great. Breaking!
Tom Brady. He doesn't hate Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, the whole thing is, look, I've thought all along that it was Jimmy G.
Yes.
So, I mean, I still think that. But as you said before the show, like, if it was Tannehill.
You think Brady's just going to be like, yeah, you know what? I was talking about him. I was talking number 17 in blue over there. That's who I was talking about.
Yeah, like, so he said to Jared, did you use MF-er? You use it? You know, was he going to say, yeah, actually, it's him, and let me say the whole word for you, okay? Because that's what he is. probably not.
I think we have that audio, the exchange between Jared Stillman and Tom Brady yesterday. Here's what happened yesterday at Titans practice with Jared.
Coming to the Titans a couple of years ago, and the HBO shop thing, you talked about a team picking, staying with a quarterback over you. A lot of people wonder in Nashville if that was Ryan, and if so, what do you think of Ryan?
I like Ryan a lot. He's a great player. So he's obviously a great leader for that team, and he's done a great job. Last year was phenomenal. The year before that, he was great. So I really like Ryan. Competed against him a lot. He's beaten me quite a few times, so I think he's a great player.
But he wasn't that MF-er in the shop?
Did you say MF-er out here?
He wasn't that MF-er.
Oh, was Ryan? Yeah. No, Ryan wasn't. Ryan's a great guy. No, I like Ryan. I was just talking. Just fodder.
Brady's just talking. Fodder. Just fodder.
Just fodder.
I love how, like, in the middle of the question, was Ryan? Is Ryan who you're talking about? Ryan Tannehill? Good stuff from Brady.
Did you say MF-er out here? that's beautiful. That's a match made in heaven. I mean, that's, you know, that's GOAT versus GOAT question asker
right
there. You know, the only thing I'm worried about with Stillman is I'm looking at his Twitter feed, and I'm looking at, like, the video from yesterday with him and Caroline. Did he not use sunblock yesterday?
He looked looked like he might get burned a little bit.
My goodness, Jared, wear a hat,
that Tampa
buddy.
Sun, it's a different thing.
It's 90 degrees and you're in Florida and sunny. Wear a hat, buddy.
It's different than it is here. That sun, it affects you differently.
But he got it done.
That's
Jared
right.
Jared, we went down
he did.
With a job to do, and he got the job done.
He did get the job done, and he's going to get it done again here today for day two of Titans practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jared Stillman will join us at 7 o'clock here today on the program as well. When we come back, we'll get a little bit deeper into the Titans practice yesterday at Tampa Bay. Some big plays made by the Titans, including by a couple of guys that I think it's a very positive sign moving forward. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. They are talking about Tom Brady's comments at Titans practice yesterday on Good Morning Football, which means maybe we had a little Jared Stillman action on Good Morning Football.
Yeah, I mean, I sure hope somebody on the panel is saying it. By the way, what an outstanding question.
Yes.
By the young reporter who was there. And even the voice. The it voice just, was just so rich and
sets
melodic.
Mood. That's right. You can hear that.
I hope they're giving him that respect that yeah, he deserves.
That's right. Jared coming up at 7 o'clock here today on the show. A lot made of yesterday's practice between the Titans and the Buccaneers. Brady threw a couple of picks, a couple of impressive plays offensively by the Titans. The videos, I mean, Teron Davenport's down there, Paul Kaharsky's down there, I think Buck's down there. There's a whole lot of people down there in Tampa Bay watching these practices between the Titans and the Buccaneers. And, you know, the Titans looked pretty good yesterday. And Brady talked about in his press conference yesterday, his offense struggled, and they didn't make a whole lot of plays out there. And, look, I'll be honest. I saw a couple videos yesterday of Caleb Farley that I think make you feel pretty good if you're a Titans fan about the progress that he's making. You can at least see why he was drafted where he was drafted, the athleticism he brings to the table. You know, obviously, he's still a little raw, and he's not played much football in the last 2 years. But when you're going stride for stride with Mike Evans and making a play on the ball and breaking up a pass, one-on-one coverage, I think it makes you feel pretty good if you're a Titans fan, watching what happened yesterday at day one of Tampa's practice against the Titans.
Yeah, well, that rep in particular, because he sort of is beat, he recovers with his speed, and then he turns and finds the ball, which
yep.
is sounds easy, sounds simple, but it's when you're in that moment, it's you got to have a lot of confidence to do that, and you got to have a lot of awareness, and I thought that was a great play. So, yeah, there were some good reps. I will say that I heard the open of Stillman and Company,
yeah.
Jared and Caroline talking about this, and Jared was like absolutely giddy about the overall outcome. Like it was like, so I mean, he was breathlessly almost.
He's the Titans going to the Super Bowl.
Well, just like, just how amazing it was, how great they were. And I'm like, okay. And I'm, so they had some good moments.
Yeah.
They had some good reps. You know, it's just like a preseason game, and yet you could say in some ways more valuable, but I don't know if it's anything more meaningful. Like the Tampa Bay Bucs last year, like in November of last year, may not have made the playoffs. Like they were,
yeah.
they were pretty bad. I think what was the game where they just got torched? Someone just maybe it was New Orleans coming into their place to complete the
That's
sweep.
That's exactly who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Just totally destroyed them. Yeah.
So it's just like, you got to be careful drawing any sort of, like, this is great, useful work, okay? But, beating some Bucks in some individual drills or whatever, or even beating them in team for a few periods, like, you got to be real careful about thinking that means anything. It doesn't.
Right.
I mean, for individuals, you want to see good development. Like that Farley video, there's like, okay, you want to see him healthy, able to play, able to participate, and showing that he can go tangle with one of the best receivers in the league and make a play. That's good.
Sure.
On an individual basis. I wouldn't take it beyond that.
Right. Like, it doesn't mean that this is a Super Bowl preview. Now, maybe it is.
I don't know. It could be.
It absolutely could be. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about that all offseason long with the Titans.
Sure.
Those are... I don't know if it's fair to say the Super Bowl is the expectation, but this team is expected to make a deep run. I mean, it just is. So the roster is there. The offense for sure is there. And look, you know, one thing that stood out yesterday too from the reports down in Tampa Bay, Doesn't really matter who the competition's been so far. Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers are getting things done, and they got things done again yesterday against Tampa Bay. And that's another really good thing to see is doesn't really matter who's covering Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers right now. They're getting open, making plays, and catching the ball. It's really good.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's every single day. And, you know, that's something that, you know, Vrabel in his comments, which were pretty brief, but
they were
pretty quick presser there, but you know, kind of he says it every time he's asked about those guys. I mean, the first thing he says is, "Yep, they're available."
Yep.
I mean, that's a huge part of this. Are you out there? But they're out there every day and they're making plays. So, you know, like it seemed like probably Vrabel was a little bit happier after the practice than Bruce Arians. Seems like Bruce Arians a little bit. So, you know, today the Bucks will I don't know.
They'll probably rebound.
Respond and, I don't know, win the practice if that's a thing.
Yeah. Brady's not going to throw an incompletion today out there.
Yeah, he may not. And we could Elijah Molden, that was another real nice play.
Undercut the route.
Yeah. Yep. In those spaces, he's been very good. So that was a good play. Hey, it's got to feel good if you're him to pick off Tom Brady. But it's also – so was it just 2 years ago? Yeah, it was just 2 years ago that the Patriots came in here.
Yeah.
And if – you know, walking away from that, again, like you don't make sweeping judgments off the practices. But walking away from that, I don't think anybody thought like the Titans were a better team than the Patriots. And they weren't at that point. And then wow. That exact same team – those exact same teams played in the playoffs, and the Titans were better.
Well, if memory serves me correctly, at least on one day of those practices with the Patriots, Ryan Tannehill was awful.
He was. Yeah, like so Brady looked, you know, if you were comparing the quarterbacks in the same drills, the same team in the same 7-on-7, you know, there was a big gap between Brady and Mariota, but Tannehill was, like, well behind Mariota even at that point. And that was also – that was around the time there was some like, well, Titans, you know, is Tannehill fighting for the starting job? I was like, no, he's not. There's no way he's starting. He's not getting the reps with the number one team. Marcus Mariota is getting all the reps. He's going to be the starter. And he was. But, I mean, there was some truth, obviously, that they liked Tannehill. And a lot of camp, he looked good, but he didn't look good that against them at all. So it's you just got to be just take it for what it is. It's good work. It's good work for the team.
It's good work. Like it's positive that you're down there. This is, again, an example of the NFL and practices, man. Right. It's one of those things that sometimes just drives me nuts. Like, it's I get it. Practice is important. It's not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
As we found out last year.
And well, what's happened, too, in this league is that, I mean, I used to look forward to preseason football because I'd see, like, real teams playing each other for a half. And it's so much less like that now, and the coaches have figured out that this something like this is actually better work. And again, we talked about the other day. You can get great versus great, but not be in a game where you actually have to tackle to the ground. Right. That's really what it is. You can get good versus good in exactly what situations the two coaches want to see him in, but then not have be basically restricted by the actual game to play the full game of football and risk injury at a higher level.
So. I just wonder, like, do teams like this setup? Do they like practicing against another team for a couple of days? Like, you know, obviously you can get some good work out of it, and I think you can learn some things. But I just wonder, like, if you're Ryan Tannehill, how beneficial is this for you? Like Aaron Rodgers was talking about, you know, in the past they would have these joint practices and they do red zone drills. And, like, the Houston Texans 1 year dropped 8 in coverage. And he was like, nobody ever drops 8 in coverage in the red zone against us because when they do, it just doesn't end well. So it wouldn't even be part of the plan. So it's basically a waste of a period out there. Like, I just wonder, from a quarterback's perspective, everything you're looking for, the looks you're trying to get, how much benefit there actually is in a practice like this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty much across the board that players like it. Well, again, so there's that thing, which is interesting. Was that Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien?
It was.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, but, I mean, you still at least get to throw against, for the most part, most times in this, you see some good players, right, from the other team. Maybe not the Texans like right now. But, yeah, if you're if you're a offensive lineman, individual drills against some of those guys, again, even team. I mean, the Bucs had all those really great defensive players from a Super Bowl winning defense out there, and the Titans moved the ball some. So I think there's value in it from that perspective.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Titans with a good day yesterday in day one. Do you care? How much does it mean in the grand scheme of things? And does it give you confidence in this offense? They're moving the ball pretty well against that Tampa Bay defense. We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of training camp, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basementy Company, the Trenches Shop Gallery and Boutique, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at the Cut Truck Mobile. .org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Day two of practice coming up today between the Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And just throwing the question out there, good day for the Titans yesterday. How much does it really mean? Does it give you more confidence in this group that they've had a good day against the defending Super Bowl champions? And it is interesting. Like, I do wonder, from a confidence standpoint, for a Ryan Tannehill, for a Marcus Johnson, or a Chester Rogers, making some plays against that defense, even when you're not being hit and it's not like, you know, this is full contact out there, how much confidence can that give you? We've talked about kind of the back and forth, you know, with the Titans defense playing pretty well for the most part in training camp so far. Julio Jones not out there yesterday. A.J. Brown not out there yesterday either. That gives you some good opportunities for work for some of these younger guys and some of these guys fighting it out for a spot. I mean, at this point, unless something dramatically changes, like, Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers have made this team at this point, right? I mean, just it kind of feels like that is what it is.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think so. And I don't know, even with those guys, like you talk about confidence, I'm sure there's some for sure. Like Tannehill, I mean, especially him, but even both of those guys at various points, probably a little bit more for Johnson of, you know, I mean, they've made plays in this sure. league. They've done things in this league. They're just, they're continuing to build. As Johnson said, that's what you got to, you know, got to keep stacking days. But I think with the young players, and maybe even like Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, you know, we talked about Elijah Molden, making plays against Tom Brady, that's a pretty big deal. Making plays with some of the receivers who you were trying to cover. Yeah, it's not like they didn't get beat some yesterday, too. Sure. So, I mean, but you know that's going to happen. I mean, look, in an individual drill, if it's just receiver DB, like the Caleb Farley rep against Mike Evans, I mean, if it's just a one-on-one, like, really, the DB should never win that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and usually they don't. It's a lot. Way tilted toward the offense when it's just simply the quarterback knows the route, the receiver knows the route, there's nothing else going on in the field, and the DB has to react to it. Usually the DB is going to lose. So you win any of those, that's a big deal. Obviously, once you get into team or 7-on-7, it's a little bit more moving parts, and you know, it can be a little bit, especially team, because you actually can affect the quarterback. But again, I just, there's individuals who can take some things from this. The team, you know, it's just, I mean, look, it's good. You'd rather play well. You'd rather go beat the crap out of Atlanta in a preseason game than lose it. But you can lose it and
it's not the end of the world.
Be great in the season opener, and then you go from there. I mean, every week's a different challenge in the actual NFL, and this is still just individuals trying to improve themselves more than anything collective.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, do you think that Ryan Tannehill will be in the thick of the MVP conversation late in this season?
Probably not. He could be, maybe. But I mean,
I guess my question would be, what does in the thick of it mean? Because he's probably not going to be. I mean, you've got your Mahomes, your Rodgers, your Lamar Jacksons, your Josh Allens of the world.
Yeah, I mean,
still can't believe I'm putting Josh Allen in that sentence, but I am.
Hey, a lot of people are.
I know.
Well, I think that I think that if the Titans are great, then maybe. I mean, how could you not? If he's having another season just like the last couple, and they are like right there at the top of the AFC, then I think possibly. But even in that situation, of all other quarterbacks of potential contenders who could be there, he's the least likely to actually be in the MVP race.
Agreed.
Because this offense will have balance, and there's a great player behind him. And then now, of course, the A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are going to, just because of how Tannehill's viewed, the other guy's going to get more credit than he will relative to other teams.
Jordan texting in, how has the Titans looked against the run in practice? And that can be very difficult to figure out this time of year because you're not hitting the running backs and bringing them to the ground. And especially like when you're just practicing, if you're the Titans, like nobody's coming anywhere near Derrick Henry. And you're not, you know, cut blocking people either. Yeah.
You know, he's not even in those drills. But I will say that in general, and, you know, look, there's some – you can get some gauge on it in shorts. You get a little bit more gauge on it in full pads, even though they're not tackling to the ground. I would say it's been pretty good, you know, from what you can tell. But like you said, I mean, really, like the preseason games are, when you find that out, better than any other time. And last week the Titans didn't play Jeffrey Simmons. They didn't play Danico Autry. Now, they did play Tart, Murchison, Coley, and those guys dominated up front.
Yeah, and I will say, outside of a 52-yard run by Felipe Franks, they did pretty well against the run last week.
Yes. Yeah, Felipe Franks running around gave him – and that's another thing, you know, in the preseason camp practices, if a quarterback gets out of the side of the pocket, and if anyone gets close to him, they blow it dead. Well, in a real game, you actually have to tackle the quarterback, and there was an example of, okay, see, this can be a problem for you guys. It's actually – that was a good look for the defense. But to go back to the question, I would say actually it's been pretty good. Like, from what you can tell, it has been pretty good, and I think it could be really good this year. I mean, look, Autry, Simmons, I think Tart is going to get a lot of snaps, and then you can weave in Murchison. I mean, Murchison is showing up. One of the Bucks reporters yesterday who covers the Bucks listed him among three Titans who stood out to him on the practice field yesterday. He mentioned Farley, Murchison, and I forget the third. But Murchison, you know, with his length and everything, he's showing some improvement too. So I think overall it's promising the way that they've looked against the run. So we'll see.
Well, and to that point, I mean – everybody focuses last year on the third down defense and not being able to cover anyone and the lack of pass rush, which all those things were bad. But kind of an underrated part of the defense and the struggles last year is they had their moments where they just couldn't stop the run. I mean, you know, I think one of the main examples that probably comes to mind is the Minnesota game, and you ended up winning that game anyway. But, I mean, Dalvin Cook absolutely shredded them in that game. But it wasn't just that game. I mean, there were games where they just – they could not stop the run, and that was contributing to some of the third down struggles we saw a year ago as well.
Well, look, I mean, the one thing that you really look at from that perspective for me is an outside linebacker. I mean, Clowney, I think just – Clowney made some plays, but I think at times he was out of position and wasn't following the plan. And we know Vic Beasley was just a zero-impact guy. So –
turnstile out there.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are – that's an important part. You think of those guys as the pass rushers, but they are an important part of stopping the run, walling it off, and I mean, you've got to be in the right gaps. You got to set the edge, all that stuff. I think Bud Dupree is going to help that. I actually think, like, when John Simon is out there, and John Simon has been out there a ton with the ones, that's – like, I don't think he's going to be a big pass rushing presence, but, like, a first down guy. You know, if they need him out there. And then you saw Rashad Weaver the other night. I mean, Rashad Weaver, I don't know if he's going to ever be a 10-sack guy in the NFL, but, man, he's going to win some physical battles and set the edge for you and stop the run. And that's what – at Pitt, he was a 4-3 defensive end who did that really well. So, I think you're right. That's an underrated part of all the things they've been doing on defense, because if you let teams just run on you, yeah, your third down defense is going to suck because it's third and two all day.
Yeah. Now – Also, keep in mind when it was 3rd and 16 last year, you didn't feel that comfortable, but yes.
You also didn't like those situations.
You did not. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including a guy that Rex Rowe previously had locked into this lineup but might now be in danger of being cut. We'll get more to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Rowe here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined in about 15 minutes by Jared Stillman to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Jared down in Tampa Bay covering the Titans and the Bucks. Day one of practice yesterday, day two of practice today. Jared will have you covered again today, and we'll be doing his show live from Tampa starting at 2 o'clock.
Do you think he went to sleep last night with the loop of him and Brady sharing words together?
Probably so.
It's like just soothed him to sleep.
Yeah, it's a probably pretty good show.
Probably listen to it right now over and over again. We'll play it for him too, just to get him all pumped up for the day.
That's right. Joe, we've thrown out an interesting kind of teaser out there that's got me very intrigued as well, and that was a guy that Joe Rexrode thought was going to be a lock to make the Tennessee Titans that now might be in jeopardy of being cut. And I'll be honest, I have no idea who you're talking about. My guess was Des Fitzpatrick, but that feels a little too obvious for this conversation, so I have no clue who you're referring to.
Okay, well, I'm referring to a guy people know well when it comes to me, but I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhina might not make the team.
Really?
Well, and the thing is, I would still, if I made a 53, I would put him on it. But, you know, and he had a good day yesterday too, apparently. Made some big plays, had a touchdown. I'd say, you know, lately he's been the third best playmaking receiver after Rodgers and Johnson. But here's the math, the way I'm doing it. Okay, first of all, we'll go AJ Brown.
I think he's going to be on there.
I think he's in. Julio Jones, I think he's in. I think, as you said earlier on the show, I think that Rodgers has to be in. I mean, he's been the guy now when Marcus Johnson was the guy last week. But they've both been the best too. They have to be on the team, and I think both of them have a shot to really matter this year at times. Again, you think about situations in recent years where you have a Khalif Raymond out there, where you have a Cam Batson out there. Obviously, Adam Humphrey's in and out of the lineup. They don't have the guy exactly like that. But Chester Rogers can do maybe some of those things. And Marcus Johnson, I think, can really give you that vertical presence. So there's four. So
I haven't said Josh Reynolds' name yet either.
And that's the thing, because Josh Reynolds was, again, a week ago, gosh, he's not healthy. They're not paying him a ton. Well, you saw this week, you know, why he was signed. He also is a vertical threat. You could look at Marcus Johnson and Josh Reynolds almost like they're competing for the same spot, but I feel like, you know, Josh Reynolds is going to be on this team. So there's five. And then it comes into just the whole idea of, are you going to expose both of your draft picks? You know, I mean, Des Fitzpatrick is a big part of this. I think if you're, as David Beauclair said on the show this week, you know, you're the Titans, you're a go-for-it team, well, then you're putting the best players on your roster at various positions, and you're going with that. But with Westbrook-Ikhina, I think a lot of the answer is, you know, how valuable is he on special teams? Because if Racy McMath has similar value, and it's not like Westbrook-Ikhina, I just think he's behind Rodgers and Johnson in terms of having a chance to really help this offense. So if that's the case, why wouldn't you stick with at least one of your draft picks?
I hear you, but, you know, you think back to the preseason game last week, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina didn't really play all that much. So didn't that kind of tell you that they feel pretty good about him? Or,
yes.
Or maybe it's as simple as they just know what he brings to the table, and they want to see what everybody else can do maybe it's not necessarily you feel really good about Nick Westbrook-Akina. It's just you want to see what these other players can do. I don't know. But I walked away from that game thinking Nick Westbrook-Akina is in pretty good shape to make this team.
I did too. But that, and then this week you saw Josh Reynolds and Chester Rogers, both those guys, because I've kind of thought, you know, is it maybe Marcus or Chester who makes it? But I don't anymore. I think they're both in. So, I mean, a lot of the answer here is Des Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Because, again, I would put Westbrook-Akina 6. I would put him as the 6th receiver, which is, I think, comfortably in. I think there's a good chance they go with 7. But if Des Fitzpatrick steps up, like they have to hope he does, I mean, he's a 4th-round pick.
But what if he doesn't?
Well, if he doesn't, then I think this is inaccurate. I mean, I don't think I'll be right here. I'm just saying I can now see the path with sure. Reynolds coming on, with Rodgers and Johnson both kind of demanding that they're on this team. And that's what they're doing.
Well, honestly, like,
daily.
Well, with Julio Jones coming in, you've spent 2 draft picks, as you said, at wide receiver. Now, albeit one of them a 6th-rounder and coming later. But I think John Robinson probably coming into camp, you're probably hoping that Nick Westbrook-Akina is not on the team because you hope that maybe 2 of those guys have ascended. Now, you know, it's interesting with Racy McMath. Like, if he doesn't make the team and he gets exposed, is somebody really going to take a flyer on him? I don't know. The temptation of the size and the speed, it's there. But the simple fact of the matter is, you know, he wasn't really all that overwhelmingly good at LSU because of circumstances in some cases that were outside of his control.
But
players in front of him.
Yeah, last year he could have done more.
Last year he could have done more. You know, Des Fitzpatrick is kind of the more intriguing guy on that thing to me. But I just don't – he's like, is somebody going to take a flyer on Racy McMath if he's exposed? Because I think what may end up being the perfect route for the Titans is for him to not make the team, to be on the practice squad. You can spend a year developing him. And then maybe next year you see – a lot of progress from Racy McMath and the natural gifts that he brings to the table, maybe you can find a pretty good spot for him. I mean, there's been talk about, you know, he's big enough where maybe you could switch him to tight end if you really wanted to. And I don't know about that, but just another year of developing could be pretty good for a guy like Racy McMath.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, I think if the Titans could take McMath and Fitzpatrick and just put them on the practice squad, they'd do it right now. And, you know, you can do the IR thing like Jared has mentioned, but you do that and, again, you're not working on anything. I mean,
exactly.
You know, you have to be on the shelf. I mean, it's – now, look, that may be your that may be your best bet just to get through this year, where you just have a better receiver room and you still want that young player to develop and you want that 4th-round investment to pay off eventually, but – that's where it just gets really interesting because, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if someone would take McMath. If someone looks at him like, okay, that guy right now is a core special teams guy for us. Like, he helps. He makes us better. And there may be a team that does. It just takes one. Fitzpatrick? I mean, honestly, like, I could make a case why McMath might be more attractive to teams because of that aspect. And, like,
I agree.
Fitzpatrick, who, yeah, as far as I can tell, really, you know, also is not really – establishing himself at all as a special teams guy. So it's just going to be – and we haven't talked about Mason Kinsey, and we haven't talked about Cam Batson.
Yep.
And you just can't – I mean, to me, you can't even get to those guys. So – but this is good for the Titans overall. I mean, Chester Rogers, Marcus Johnson as support players, Josh Reynolds, you know, as a support player. I mean, I think those 5 guys are probably going to do the bulk of the – and then maybe Westbrook-Akina will too. He may. But I just feel like Reynolds has a chance now to move past him because he just has more speed. You know, he's just more of a downfield threat, and he's done a lot more in this league. That's good for the Titans. I mean, that could be an awfully good deep receiving core. It's just also going to be really difficult to figure it out.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. Sounds to me like the practice squad will be full of receivers and kickers. I mean, you don't want to get rid of good potential talent for this team in the future. Problem with that is, I mean, they're going to be exposed. And, like, Cameron Batson, I think he'll probably land somewhere if he doesn't make the team. I mean, he's a guy that's played. You know, if he continues to put together some good tape in the preseason, like, Like, Cam Batson to me is an NFL receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's still out there making plays.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, he's worked hard to try to get better and stuff. There's some limitations there, but he is. He's an NFL receiver. So, yeah, he could be. Look, Mason Kinsey could be picked up too. It's possible.
Sure. I mean,
I mean, you might be flooding the market with receivers here.
But to your point, like, you can't – you get far enough down this discussion, like, I don't see a way that Mason Kinsey makes the team. I know that everybody talked about it after – I mean, he had a good game against Atlanta. He very well could go out against Tampa Bay on Saturday, have another great game. I don't really know if there's anything he can do to insert himself with this group just based on the numbers game that there is. Unless John Robinson and Mike Vrabel just say, you know what, we don't really care where we drafted these guys. We're going to take the best six. And they end up thinking Mason Kinsey's one of the best six. But Mason Kinsey would also have to really help you in special teams too.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to get past Westbrook Akina.
No.
So there's – I mean, that's – and who I have at number six right now, I just don't see it. Now, could he be the seven? I just – instead of Fitzpatrick and McMath – I can't buy it. I can't buy it at all. But he's putting – this is where the preseason helps guys like that a lot.
Exactly.
That's how Khalif Raymond ended up here. Some of the stuff he did with the Giants in preseason games a few years ago. I mean, that's – you know, someone out there is noticing Mason Kinsey right now.
Now Khalif
Raymond. The Titans would like them probably to not notice him, and they'd like him to be on their practice squad.
Yeah, probably so. Now Khalif Raymond's going to have his chance to tear things up with the Detroit Lions this year.
How did he do? Did he do anything in the first preseason game?
You know, it was with the Lions, so probably not, but I can check.
Let's see. You got Jared Goff throwing him the ball, Dan Campbell motivating him. I mean, there's a lot to like about that situation.
Khalif Raymond had one reception for 5 yards.
Okay.
On one target.
No. One for one.
One for one. I don't know if that means that he didn't play all that much. There were
Dan Campbell's like, hey, we're not going to put our key guys in harm's way, okay?
Some of the receivers they've got, wow. Khalif Raymond, Geronimo Allison, somebody named Tom Kennedy was their leading receiver.
Oh, that Tom Kennedy. Watch out for him. They do have the kid from USC who I think is going to be good. St. Brown,
yeah.
Another possibility for the Titans in the draft.
Yeah. He had 2 catches for 12 yards.
Hey!
Offense just chucking the ball around. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman, who is down in Tampa Bay for Titans and Buccaneers practice coverage. We'll get to him coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.